Welcome back, guys. DGS 307. Our pal Maria Keen is here from the news desk. So as you know, my mom just passed away. She was in a nursing home, which I was very happy with. The place where she fell about 4 months ago was not as nice. So I'm not glad she fell, but it's probably good that she didn't stay there. And I'm thinking of my friend Trish Gazelle, who was helping her uncle about a year ago. And she went to two places and she said, Dave, I didn't even make it to the front desk. I walked in, I smelled it, I saw it, I turned around, I said, no way. And you have a story about a nursing home, which is very disturbing. Start from the beginning, how it all came about.
A listener called into the newsroom and it was a daughter of a patient. And she started explaining, the situation that her mom was in. Her mom had had a stroke back in 2015 and has been in this facility about 7 or 8 years. We're talking about U City Forest Manor in University City. And she said, basically, she was at wit's end. She didn't know what to do. She couldn't get anywhere. She started crying on the phone. She says, there are bugs in the place. My mom is not getting the care that she needs. And I said, let's meet and we'll go into the nursing home. And she said, that'll be great. So I met her there. And full disclosure here, full marked car, Camo X car, pulled right in out of the parking lot, didn't try and hide. Went into the facility. It was the lady and another family member of hers, because the daughter is legally blind.
Mm.
So she needs a driver. So we go into the facility, open the unlocked door, walk right into the facility. Nobody questions us. There's nobody at the door there. Nothing to sign or anything. We're walking through the facility and people are looking at us, workers, and nobody's saying anything. One of the doors they opened up, now mind you, it's a pretty good sized hallway. I'm in the hallway, I'd say in the middle of the hallway. They open up the door and the stench of urine when they opened up that door was so prolific. I couldn't believe that it had wafted out just like that, just for that split second when they opened the door. So that was the first thing. Then we get to the mom's room. And then I start talking with her mom, who I should mention is a retired licensed practical nurse. She's very alert, very sharp lady, knows what's going on, knows what kind of care should be given. She's had a stroke, though, so she is completely incapable of doing anything for herself. But it did not affect her mind. One of the things was the fact that there were bugs in the bedside table. So I said, well, let's open this up and see. So we opened up the drawers. There they go. They go scattering. They go running. We have all these pictures at camox.com. Leaky tile in the restroom. Not a clean restroom. So I'm asking the mom different questions, you know, about physical therapy. Did they give you this? They don't have linens all the time. If that happens, they put a diaper on her because they don't have clean linens all the time. You think that these things don't happen, but they do. And so I say I was in there 30 to 45 minutes, and they got wind of the fact that I was in there. And the administrator came into the room, and I believe the social worker, and told me I had to get out. And I said, well, I've been invited in by the daughter here. And the patient wanted to talk with me and tell me the situation. Well, they were hollering, and I've got sound of that, of what happened, because she said, are you recording? And I said, yes, I've recorded. I've interviewed the patient. And she said, did you take pictures? And I said, I did take pictures. So they were very upset. And I can play you the encounter.
Sure, I'd love to hear it.
Okay, listen here.
I don't care, because that's my mother.
That's fine.
When you get through, but, that's fine. You aren't taking care of her, are you?
Ma'am,
we can do this.
We can do this in the front.
No,
you like to come into the room. If you like to come to the conference room, we can do that. But you, ma'am, you do have to leave.
Ma'am, are you recording?
Did you take pictures?
No, I did, yes.
You are not allowed to take pictures in here.
Or record her.
Oh, well, she did.
But if I have Mrs. Orr's permission.
She has my permission.
But this, she does not have permission to take pictures.
Girl, let me tell you something. You ain't nobody.
You come to the
car. That's my mother. You off your mind. Sherry, and I don't care. I don't care. She don't mean nothing to me.
That's fine.
Nothing.
Because the fact that you all did not say a word and she did not sign.
I don't have to tell you nothing.
In fact, this is what we do.
No,
yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'll
take you to the front.
I know what happens.
What's going on?
So there you have it there. Mm. That was the encounter that we had towards the end. Mm-hmm. And when they were telling me to leave, I wanted to go in the conference room as the patient's daughter wanted me to ask them, well, explain the situation. Why are there live bugs in her bedside table? Why are there not clean linens? Why, when I opened up that linen drawer, it's filthy dirty. And they wouldn't let me into the conference room. So I, at that point, left rather than trying to cause any further kind of a disturbance. I have contacted several organizations. We have now given that patient, her daughter, some resources so that she can look for other places to get her mother. We have this story all up at KMOX.com with the resources that you can go to. This facility, they're owned by Palladian Healthcare. They also own five other, a total of five, in Illinois and Missouri. One is in Creve Coeur, one's in Poplar Bluff, others in Taylorville, Mount Vernon, and all of them have equally poor ratings. So this is not something that's just, you know, just happened to happen. We walked in on a bad day.
And as we were discussing off the air, in the best situations, in the best nursing homes and facilities with the best care, it's tough. That's a tough job. It's a tough job to do. It's a tough job to care that much all the time. And not everyone has their best day all the time. When you start going down the totem pole and getting to places who don't care, it's hellish.
It is hellish. And I spoke with the SEIU president, director. That's a union that represents a lot of the workers that work mm-hmm. in long-term care facilities. His name is Lenny Jones. And he said it's very hard to keep them staffed. But this in particular nursing home is like way below the normal average. They're trying to set up federal standards right now where at least 4 hours are given to the patient, that they at least have that much time. Right now, they're below two, or they're mm-hmm. at about two. So that isn't even remotely close. I mean, mm-hmm. these are people that need care.
Yeah.
And if you don't have an advocate in there,
yeah,
that's trouble.
Yeah.
Because you've got to have eyes on watching everything in there.
Yeah. So my mom was 4 months in the nursing home, and I went every day because I cared, but I also went every day because it's a squeaky wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know who's there, they know who's not.
Absolutely.
And while I didn't see anyone not being cared for, I saw you could tell who had visitors and who didn't. Mm-hmm. And they just have no advocates.
No, they don't. And one of the really disturbing things that there's an organization here called Voice, and that's where they send out ombudsmen to go out and deal with the facilities and the patients and their families, and walk them through all of this, especially if there's problems. Well, Governor Parson cut state funding to this that was already budgeted through the state legislature. They already approved it. He cut it again this year. So there is no way that they can hire any additional ombudsmen. Their hands are tied, essentially, because they just don't have the staff. And as far as inspections going on inside of these nursing homes, that's just they're finally getting caught up with the backlog. It's so bad.
So what do you suggest for people out there who are in the position like the lady who called you?
I suggest that you, first of all, go to Medicare.gov and put the name of the institution that you're wanting or contemplating putting your loved one in. See what kind of rating is coming up on them. Do a little research that way. Call Voice. They will certainly help you. I've got links to all of this on the website because it's hard, you know, for one thing, in your situation, your mom had gotten sick out of nowhere mm-hmm. and you're dealing with this situation.
Yes.
And that's brutal. You got a lot going on when that happens. Mm-hmm. And
can make bad decisions.
Yes, absolutely. Because you want the loved one to have the best situation.
Yeah.
So there is help out there.
And there's a big difference. My mom was private pay,
yes,
but she was not a wealthy person and eventually would have run out of money and then would have switched floors and beds. And you would like to think that whether you're paying $11,000 a month or $15,000 a month, or it's being paid for by Medicare, Medicaid, that the care would be the same. But I don't think anyone thinks that.
No, I don't think it's true, Dave. And one of the other things, too, is this facility is private pay is for profit, and they also receive Medicaid and Medicare, so they have money coming in there.
Yeah,
it's not like they're just a Medicaid facility or Medicare.
Right. Excellent work, gutsy work. That's why KMOX exists. Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
322 DGS. You know what's especially maddening about that story that Maria Kina just told us about? The people who own those facilities where there are bugs in the room and people are sitting in their own urine and feces for hours on end, those people are rich.
Yeah.
Those people are getting rich. People who own facilities are wealthy. That's just so evil.
Yeah.
I'll say it. That you're a monster if you are a millionaire and there are bugs in your facilities. That's monstrous.
Yep.
Stairway to Kevin.
Well, you want to stay angry?
Sure, let's do.
Because I came across this yesterday, and I know that the example I'm going to give you is in South Carolina, but apparently this is something that happens in different places. Dave, I mean, so in your legal background, did you ever hear of civil forfeiture?
Sure.
You know what that is, right?
Yeah. I mean, basically.
So basically, if you're being investigated for a crime, and let's say they think you're a drug dealer, they can just take, if they find a stack of cash, they can take it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to then go to court and prove that you didn't do anything wrong, that belongs to you, and that can cost thousands of dollars. Well, what happened in South Carolina, what's being investigated there is near Spartanburg, they would do this every year. They called it Operation Rolling Thunder, where they would get out on the highways, and they would look for cars that are from out of state, and they would pull them over for made-up reasons, not speeding. Like, there was an example, they pulled over two women in a Tesla that were not driving too fast, they were not breaking any laws, but they make up excuses to pull them over. This time they said driving too long in the left lane without passing anybody was the excuse. And if they don't find any violations, they create one. So they said, well, you're being suspicious, so we need to search your car. And then if they find money, they take it.
Wow.
Under the grant of civil forfeiture. And the Department of Homeland Security had people on site, like on call waiting. So when they found the money, for example, they would say, okay, Homeland Security, you come over here, you're going to clear this. And then what they do is they end up sharing it. The agencies end up sharing this money. They get to keep it until these people come to court and prove that it's theirs. So over a five-day period, they picked up almost $1 million from people just stopping them and finding cash and taking it. People that were never charged with a crime, people that were not arrested, people that did not break a law. In a lot of cases, like the women in the Tesla, weren't even written a ticket. They did nothing wrong, but they found cash and they took it.
So where did the money happened. Go?
So it goes to the departments. It goes to the local department. Again, according to, this is a story in Reason Magazine is where I saw the original link. And it says that this is, so what happens is the people that get caught up in this, they don't have the financial resources to fight it. So it costs more to go get your $5,000 back than $5,000. So then they just give up on it. You just write it off as a lost cause. I'm never getting that back. So basically, according to the story, 98.6% of the time, the people just give up.
Wow.
The Department of Homeland. And again, so what the way it puts this is the United States Department of Homeland Security, and I'm reading this from the story, waits on standby to take possession of the cash seized during this operation. So the Department of Homeland Security is working with the police department in Spartanburg, South Carolina, to steal from people. Not under the guise, they use it, the guise they're using is they're trying to stop trafficking drugs, right? They're trying to stop, but none of these people are ever arrested. None of these people are ever charged. None of them are, most are not even written tickets.
Seems
and
like
this
a,
is happening in
like
the United States.
Pretty easy fix that to keep the money, the person has to be charged, prosecuted successfully.
Well, this is kind of, there's so many angles that you can go into with this, but one is, if you're caught doing this, why are you not in prison for stealing? That department and whoever was there with the Department of Homeland Security stole money from American people, from United States citizens, stole $1 million in 5 days, $200,000 a day, from people that don't have the money to come back and get it. So you're not taking away from a guy like Elon because he'll come and get it. You can't fight against him, but you'll come against some regular person who's got $2,000 traveling from one state to another, maybe to move, and you're bringing cash because you need it to move. And A, we have the fact that there are law enforcement organizations, including the Department of Homeland Security, taking part in this. But also the fact that, how is that even constitutional? You are presumed innocent. You have to be proven guilty. Why do you have to prove that you're innocent to get your property?
When you're not even charged.
When you are not charged with a crime.
It's an angry half hour on the DGS.
Yeah, what the hell?
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
34 DGS, top of the hour. Our friend Dr. Paul Halperin is going to be with us. He is the pretty much the world's leader in multiverse theory, which, you know, Kevin and I are dorks about, so that should be a lot of fun. Dave Murray joins us. Dave, another day, more progress on the back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everything's good. Everything, you know, as far as I'm concerned, everything's good. The docs are all saying, you're fine. You're going to be fine.
Good, good.
So as long as they keep saying that and I keep taking care of myself, yeah, everything's fine.
So you should have a lot of relief in your future life then.
I always hope for that.
So gorgeous day out there today, but it's going to get even better for those of us like me who like it a little cooler.
Yes, because we've got a secondary cool front. It's really just come through. The winds have turned back to the northwest. There's a few clouds out there, but that's the front. And that's one of the reasons we bumped to about 85, 86 as expected today, because we were ahead of that front, but we're now getting behind it. So we'll go down to 62 tonight. Friday is a spectacular day. Sunny, nice, little breezy from the northwest, but we'll take that. Low humidity, 79 for the high temperature. Friday night, partly cloudy, 59. The record low Friday night into Saturday morning is 54 degrees from 1972. That will be safe, but it just kind of shows you that we're cooling down quite nicely. The weekend, spectacular. Saturday, sunny and 78. Saturday night, clear, 62. Sunday, sunny and 80. A little more in the way of scattered thunderstorms as we get into next week, but let's not worry about it because it's really like mid-September rather than mid-August.
Yeah, I think the AC is going off and the windows are coming up at home for the weekend. You guys?
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Depends.
Boy.
Depends.
You're like a museum piece.
Depends. It's got to be like low 70s.
It's just been so long since I had my windows open. It's starting to feel a little sarcophagus-ish.
Yeah, I get that.
Headlines, Rach?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right. Katie Ledecky and Nick Mead have been chosen as the flag bearers for the 2024 Olympics closing ceremony, which happens this Sunday.
What are these shenanigans that Tom Cruise is turning into an alien or something? What's
I don't know. He's doing some stunts, right, for the closing ceremonies. Like,
yeah.
Supposedly, like, rappelling down from the stadium, and they filmed some part of it already.
Yeah, he's going to jump out of something and deliver the Olympic flag to Los Angeles, to SoFi Stadium, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
All right. Am I the only one who thinks it's kind of cool?
Yeah.
You might be, Rach.
Hey, you know what? The Queen did it the last time.
The Queen did?
Yeah, the Queen of England. Remember, they did that thing where she supposedly jumped out
of
the plane.
Oh, I do remember. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. They had somebody in disguise. Oh. Yeah, the costume. Yeah, yeah.
I was feeling completely lost. Yeah. Like that.
If it was really her, it would be better.
Pretty
but
badass.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, at least Tom Cruise does his own stunts.
See, that's what I enjoy about it. It's like, hey, he's still out there doing his own stunts, and it's quite impressive.
It's the ultimate try hard.
He is. Just like, dude, come on.
Wouldn't catch me doing it.
I've kind of been in that mode, though. Like, Ryan Reynolds, who I used to love, is just on my last nerve.
He's just around too much. People are just overexposed. If you're around all the time, then people are like, all right, show me something new.
That's why I'm not more famous and rich. I just don't want to be overexposed.
Yeah.
He has that look on his face now that, aren't I cute?
Yes. Yeah,
aren't I handsome?
Yes.
Aren't I funny?
And he is. We all see it, Ryan. You can stop now.
And, okay, I'll take it one step further. I do like his wife, Blake Lively, but they've kind of turned into this couple where it's like, we're doing a bit all the time. Yeah. And it's like, that's cute for like...
We're roasting each other online.
Exactly. It's cute a couple of times, but then when you do it constantly, it's like, okay... Or is this all you guys do? Like,
I hope we never come across like that on our lower level, you know, because people get sick of local TV and radio as well.
Yeah.
But
All right. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but two NASA astronauts stuck on the International Space Station for more than 2 months could be forced to stay until February of 2025. Officials say concerns over the safety of the spacecraft that brought them into orbit is the reason for the delay. They were expected to be back on Earth by now, but have been grounded by issues with the capsule. They may have to stay until February if NASA decides to bring them back on a SpaceX flight rather than risk using the Starliner capsule. A final decision is expected by mid-August.
Wonder if anyone's ever really lost it up there. You know, like I have a little touch of claustrophobia. Mm. Not so much put me in a closet claustrophobia, but just I can't get out of this situation claustrophobia, which that would be kind of the ultimate right now. You know? Yeah.
Don't you think they test test them like crazy?
They would
so
have
to. They don't do that.
You know, it's there's a TV show, and I'm forgetting the name of it off the top of my head, but it's really phenomenal. It's a kind of... alternate history of the United States involving the space race, and you know Russia beats us, and then it shows how it changes
for all mankind.
For all mankind, and one of the themes, no spoilers here because I won't tell you how it goes, is one of the astronauts gets stranded longer than he was supposed to be, and it's like this: they can't figure out a solution, and he's just stuck there, and he loses it,
like The Martian.
Yeah.
Well, kind of like Damon that, in Interstellar, where he calls them to his planet. Even though,
Right.
And no spoil. I almost spoiled it, but all right.
Oh, I think he spoiled it.
Hey, Matt Damon's in there.
That's okay. It's like a 20-year-old film.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Is it that old?
No, it's
a lot though.
Like 10 years old.
Okay.
It's coming back to IMAX.
I like that movie a lot. I watched it again a couple months ago.
All right. The Harris campaign raised $36 million after picking Tim Walz for the VP. They're touting the hall as one of their best fundraising days of the cycle and a reflection of enthusiasm among Democrats about the vice president's choice of Walz as her running mate.
Good.
$36 million in 24 hours. That's pretty good. Did you guys see the story about Taylor Swift? Her Austria shows were canceled due to a thwarted terrorist attack. This is so awful. So there were a group of teenagers, and we're finding out today that they worked at the venues that or at the stadium that she was expected to perform at, that like pledged allegiance to ISIS, and they had all these chemical substances, and they were going to carry out this suicide.
Yeah, they're
going
to drive a truck through the through the crowd as they were waiting to go into the venue, and then blow things up. It was. Yeah, 15-year-olds.
Yeah, and thank God they found it.
Yeah, just awful. Tickets will be refunded for those shows. They were supposed to take place today through the 10th. The average consumer now carries over $6,000 in credit card debt, according to a report from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. We owe a record $1.4 trillion in credit card debt here in the United States.
Kind of surprised it's that low.
I mean, it's given the way things have been, you know, since the pandemic. Yeah.
And according to another new survey, 40% of Americans have depression or anxiety because of politics. Nearly 4 in 10 Americans say that news and social media around the upcoming election is making them more anxious than usual. And then 35% of Americans say they already feel checked out by the overwhelming amount of news and social media attention.
Anybody know anybody? I mean, I famously have no social media, but I'm obviously very engaged because of the show. I think I see most everything anyway. Anyone know someone who's really disengaged, who just really doesn't take part?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was talking to somebody other day who was very politically active, like was always posting things on Facebook and stuff. And they told me, like, I just can't anymore. They were apologizing to me, like, hey, I haven't listened to the show, but I'm trying to avoid stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I wish I could do that sometimes. Sometimes that sounds really, really nice. All right. Speaking of the Olympics, as we talked about earlier in this segment, a humpback whale surprised viewers at the Olympic surfing competition in Tahiti. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, it was very, very cool.
Very cool. They suddenly had company during the surfing competition. A humpback whale leapt out of the water head first, which is a maneuver called a breach. Yep. Announcers calling the event didn't miss a beat, with one saying, "That's a 10 right there." Thank you. In my final story here, a lawsuit is targeting Cocoa Puffs. This is actually pretty disturbing. Cocoa Puffs are being accused of serving too much lead in their dinner cereal. So at one
too much.
Well, yeah, exactly. There should be lead.
It should be any lead.
But a 1 cup serving of the cereal contains just under the maximum limit of lead, which is 0.5 micrograms. But the suit claims that most consumers pour well above that amount. No one's having a single cup of cereal. Yeah.
You're having a bowl, right? You're not measuring it.
So the suit alleges that the company failed to disclose that the products could poison the consumer. So watch out there if you're a Cocoa Puffs eater. It might not be so great for you.
Kev, you wanted to revisit the whole world champion thing?
Well, just, yeah. And again, not so much for, you know, the sake of a fight, as we just were up against a break and it's hard because we were talking about Noah Lyles and his comment that the NBA champion, he was talking basketball, but you could apply this to baseball, football, whatever, that they're not the world champs when you win the NBA championship, and that the Olympics is where that happens. But it's a weird way of putting it because the Olympics are not a league, right? It's a once every 4 year thing, and they're just a bunch of all-star teams representing their countries. And you're watching. Serbia is playing. We won't give you any, we won't do any spoilers, but Serbia is playing the U.S. right now in a semifinal game. You could only probably pick out two of Serbia's players that are in the NBA. You could look at France and Germany, who just played earlier today. Maybe a few on each team are guys that play in the NBA, and a couple of them are good or stars. Victor Wembanyama plays for France, but they're not. It's not. There's no equivalency to the professional league. So, as an example, in soccer, you have two major leagues, right? You have the British. You got the English Premier League. And I'm forgetting MLS. The name of the other. No. Yeah. MLS is further down on the list. But, you know, there are several European professional soccer leagues that are pretty close to equal. And their best teams play against each other and they're equal. But there is no equal to the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball anywhere else. And when you are the best team in the best league, you get called the world champion. And I think people, you know, I think overdo the America part of it because it's not an American. They are sports based in America, but the NBA is made up a ton of those players are European players. They're African players. You know, like it is a world league, I guess is the point. And the NHL is a world league and the NFL is American, but it's because nobody plays American football anywhere else. And baseball is a league based here, but it's a world sport. I mean, it's literally the entire world. So when you are the best team in the best league in that sport in the world, you get called that. Now, in the Olympics, it's different. When you're a track star, that is the best of the best of the best, period, the end, right? But in some cases, there are probably 20 American sprinters that are faster than the fastest sprinter from another country. But that guy from the other country gets to come in, or that woman from the other country, because you get to represent your country. So you may not get to go from the U.S. as the fifth best 100-meter person, but you might be faster than the people that are going to be there anyway.
Yeah.
But it still is the best of the best are there. And it is true in the basketball tournament, the best players are there. Most of them are on the U.S. team, but the best players are there. But it's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to take the best league anywhere outside of those big pro sports league and compare those leagues, they're not the same because all of those best players have come to the NBA to play there.
Got it.
I just want to make sure I wasn't like yelly when I was saying it.
No. You were less yelly.
No. Last time we were yelly.
Than usually.
And I want it to not be yelly because it's an important thing to distinguish that if you have a league where the best players in the world all come to that league, they don't stay in, you know, like the best players from Japan have come here. Shohei Ohtani is here. Right? Like that's what happens. So that's why those professional leagues, just like in soccer, it would be the EPL or the other European leagues.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Interesting story that's dividing the internet. So a underappreciated mom says that when she comes home, her husband is watching sports. The kids are in their rooms playing video games. She plans the dinners. She cooks the dinners. And then they refuse to help clear the dishes or do the dishes or do any sort of help at all. So she has started going out to dinners by herself. And people are saying, well, you're a monster. You're a mom. This is your job. This is what you should do. Other people are saying, no, it's your family who are the monsters. You're doing exactly the right thing. Thoughts?
I don't think anyone's a monster.
I think good for her for taking time for herself if she feels unappreciated. And I disagree that it's solely a mom's job. Did you say she was a working mother?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming her husband works as well. Mm-hmm. Why is it if you're both working, all of the domestic tasks immediately go to the woman? That's not fair. Now, if she's staying home, then yeah, that's your job. That's what you're supposed to be doing. But you should be splitting these tasks. And it seems like a communication issue. Like, maybe talk to your husband about it instead of the internet, but I don't think she's doing anything wrong.
How old are the kids, do we know?
Teenagers.
Oh. She's a hero. If you don't want to help clean up, make your own damn food. Sorry. Mm-hmm. That's what my mom worked, right? She didn't start working until I was in fourth grade, but that was the deal. For me, for my brother, for my dad, if she had busy days, she would always still come home and make food and all that, but we were all doing that. And if we didn't do it, there was a punishment for it, mm-hmm. and dad enforced it. So, yeah, get with dad. That's an easy win. She is definitely in the right.